Babylon Board of Education is hereby called to order. Please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
We'll start with item number four, approval of the minutes of the regular business meeting of November 14, 2016, and work study meeting of November 28, 2016. Do I have a motion? Mrs. Delerba, seconded by Mrs. Altbacher. All those in favor? Motion carries. Item number five, approval of the Treasurer's and Business Office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for October 2016 and the internal claims audit report for October 2016. Do I have a motion? Mrs. Doris, seconded by Mrs. Panay. All those in favor? Motion carries. Item number six, the superintendent's report, Mrs. Brazzi.
Okay, yes, good evening, everybody. How's everyone doing? Good to see you all tonight. We're going to begin tonight with some student recognition. First, we'd like to be recognizing the Suffolk Zone Physical Education Award winners. I'm going to ask that Mr. DeJoseph join me up at the podium along with our board president. And Mr. Cerrone. Tonight we'd like to recognize the Babylon Junior Senior High School seniors, Jason Carlock and Sarah Franklin, who have been named the 2016-2017 Suffolk Zone Physical Education Award recipients. Welcome, let's give a nice round of applause.
Team had a highly successful season. As we know, they were the Suffolk County Class B champions. Unfortunately, we fell in the Long Island Championship, but it was a really great season. They had 12 wins. Not only were they the Suffolk County Class B champions, they were also recognized as the New York State Public High School Athletic Association Scholar Athlete Team. Basically, it recognizes if 80% of your team has a 90 or better average, your team is recognized. All of our fall teams were recognized. And the girls' soccer team had a team GPA of 99.244. So, not only under the coach's leadership did they have a great season on the field, but obviously in the classroom they got it done as well. But if I may just take a second and give you the numbers for all the teams, because I think it's a great reflection of the work our coaches, teachers, students, administrators are doing in support of athletics. Cheerleaders were 94.735, Boys cross country 98.883, girls cross country 98.66, field hockey 98.246, football, who lost in the county championship, so they had a very successful season, 95.102, golf was 97.328, gymnastics 98.638, boys soccer, who also lost in the county final, so a highly successful year, 98.641, girls tennis 99.958, and volleyball was 98.690. So all our teams really did well in the classroom as well. Call up the coaches, Coach Mancuso, Coach Pasquarella, Coach Armando, please come up.
And we would like to present the coaches and the team with this beautiful plaque from Section 11, recognizing the Babylon Girls Varsity Soccer Team as Class B champions. Congratulations.
I'm not sure who is or isn't here, so I'll run through the whole team and whoever's here, please come up. Danny Bushery, Tegan Castelluccio, Aaron Corcoran, Molly Cummings, Kira DeVoe, Catherine DeSanti, Ava Farenbach, Chloe Gigliotti, Sophia Gigliotti, Anna Giovinazzo, Samantha Giovinazzo, Lee Gregory, Amanda Guerra, Melissa Guerra, Kevin Holder, Olivia Lally,
there we go.
Primarily based on their NISM scores from last year's festival, and they were selected as part of this organization. It becomes the top student musicians in Suffolk County. So they did an excellent job.
Quite an accomplishment. Thank you, too, for everything you and their teachers do. So we'd like to bring up, if she's here, Olivia Lully. Max O'Handley.
can you spell it, All Eastern? That's quite an accomplishment.
We actually had six students in the All County East of the Three that could be here this evening. And then Lindsay, Emma Schubart, and Scott Swellia were selected for All State, which just happened last weekend, which marked them as the top student musicians in New York State. And then Lindsay and Emma were then selected for All Eastern, which is the 13 states on the Eastern Seaboard, and they'll be participating in an All Honors Group in April. So congratulations.
We also are recognizing Matthew Fama, who's not here tonight. I don't believe Matt's here, right?
No.
Emma Schubart, who also could not make it tonight. She is also in the All State Symphony Orchestra, as well as Scott Sodia, who's also in the All State Symphony Orchestra. So please give those three a round of applause.
We're rearranging for a photo.
This is an easy one.
I hope he's there.
Why not?
Very nice.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, for the moms.
Oh.
Okay, we're good.
Always looking out for the mamarazzi, man.
Student delegates, we'd like to call up our student council, Catherine and Max, to give us an update for the month.
What happened to the podium where the microphone comes up? Did we get rid of that? So I'm Max O'Hanley. For senior high student council events, we have student council members are assisting in a district-wide fundraising endeavors for Rock, Can, Roll, and Toys for Tots. Preparations have already begun for BHS Presents, which will take place on February 3rd and 4th. For our science department, the STEAM 10 students recently visited the Cold Spring Harbor Trout Hatchery to learn about the growth, development, and reproduction patterns of our local freshwater trout species. Students were able to collect fresh female eggs, watch them get fertilized by the male, and brought home several hundred eggs to monitor until they hatch in late December. Once the eggs hatch, students will take care of the juvenile trout, then release them into the Carls River ecosystem in the spring to help boost local trout populations. Honors physics students in Mr. Morandi's and Mr. Sillabo's classes have been learning about the topic of mechanics. They recently completed a lab incorporating Newton's second law, where students use state-of-the-art equipment to analyze and confirm the scientific phenomena postulated by Newton. During this lab, students had to set up a cart and use motion sensors to create graphs. They took various measurements in order to determine the mass of the cart without ever weighing it. The results were fantastic, with most students getting under 5% error in their measurements. In our fine arts department, theater. The newly renovated Row Hall was open to the community this weekend with our drama production of You Can't Take It With You, featuring the talents of student actors, designers, technicians, and backstage crew. Over 50 BHS students worked together to bring this classic of the American theater to life. Congratulations to Mr. Hume, Mr. Story, Mrs. Napolitano, and the entire cast and crew of You Can't Take It With You. The visual art. The Art Honor Society held a bake sale on Election Day and raised money to donate to the Teresa Foundation. The Teresa Foundation provides access to all the arts, fine art, music, theater, and dance, for children with disabilities. Art students in Studio 2 through Studio 5 attended a field trip to the Metropolitan Museum of Art this month. The students compared Greek and Roman art and also visited the contemporary and modern art galleries. As a follow-up, some of the students will be creating mini frescoes. The art department would like to share more of our artwork with you each month. This month, we have some printmaking from our seniors who attended the Artist Mentor Day in October. There are also drawings by junior high 8 art classes, as well as some of the beginning darkroom photography by our photo classes. Students used Pringle cans as the cameras, and in the showcase out in the hallway, there are nature cardboard sculptures by the Studio 2 class. Drew O'Connor and Paula Romero have entered and were accepted to have one of their pieces of artwork in the Suffolk County Community College annual high school art competition. The show is in the Gallery West on the Brentwood campus until December 21st. The hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Thursday.
From the Practical Arts /ECA, Andrew Maroulis and his college finance class have once again been awarded the Blue Star School designation and Gold Star Teacher from the WISE Financial Literacy Organization. This award is given to select schools whose students have scored highly on the National Financial Literacy Exam. Mr. Maroulis and his classes have won this prestigious award at least 5 times. DECA students volunteered at the recent Santa breakfast at the elementary school. DECA students are also selling beautiful Babylon ornaments at upcoming plays and concerts. DECA students will be volunteering at the Babylon Nourishes Soup Kitchen on January 9th. We will have several groups of students serving, cleaning up, and making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. From the Interact Club, a special thank you to the Interact Club for their involvement in Babylon Ends Hunger, Operation Christmas Child, and the Rotary Club's holiday gift collection for teenagers in need. Also, thank you for the generosity of the RA National Honor Society, Leo Club, and staff members who contributed to these work lives.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Great update as usual. Thank you. Okay, I have some brief comments regarding updates for the month going around the district. First of all, I want to extend a wonderful, wonderful thank you and congratulations. This past weekend, we had an outstanding performance of You Can't Take It With You, performed by our very talented Babylon High School drama students under the direction of Mr. Jordan Hugh and Mr. Eddie Story. It was really a terrific show. Received a lot of great acclaim. In speaking with the kids, they really enjoyed the show this year. So, wasn't it wonderful?
It was a great show.
Babylon Village Arts Council. The Babylon Village Arts Council has been working with us in central office. They have secured a grant in which they desire to run a dramatics art program outside of the school day this winter for grade school students. The grade school will be sending out information on this to students in grades 3 through 6 who wish to participate. As you know, our drama program is growing, especially up here at the high school, and we have a number of students, hopefully in those younger grades, that will come through and participate in these workshops that they're offering. So I just wanted to bring that to the forefront. Last year we visited a regional high school and we brought on Project Lead the Way, and this week we're actually going to visit that same high school to look at their wet lab that they have. I know Mr. Cerrone, along with Mr. D'Amico, Mrs. Santman will be joining us, as well as maybe Mrs. Dixon, Mary Beth Shepherd, but we're going to see the wet lab and the marine biology lab that they have at that school district and get a little bit of information on how they designed it, the university connection that they built, the marine bioscience courses that are taught, in an effort to maybe we can replicate something here on such a scale with provided funding.
Can you explain what wet lab is?
Yes. And I'm going to ask maybe Mr. Cerrone or Mr. D'Amico to chime in, because they're the ones who saw it. I have not physically seen it, but it's really like an aquarium inside the school building, with all different live tanks, and it really drives the marine science courses. It's amazing. Do you want to add anything?
That's pretty good. It really is like a small aquarium. This one had, I think, about 70 tanks. Also had a large tide pool, so they could
70 tanks?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they have everything from marine life to also, they actually sell some of the water from that they when they raise some of the wildlife, they sell it off to other countries. Actually, they make they make quite a bit of money. That's how it funds the program. That's how they keep
wow.
people on. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's very, very impressive. I guess at one time it was SUNY Stony Brook or
yes.
Southampton College,
right.
and then they
now it's Stony
they
Brook.
Moved it. They moved it to the
right.
to the high school.
Yeah. Hey, can we get some more information on this program? It's interesting.
Oh, we will.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
You know, I live out there, so I read
yeah.
a lot in the papers. But the kids who are actually in the marine science program actually tagged great white sharks.
Wow.
And are tracking them now. It's very, very, very cool.
Very
and we have a wonderful STEAM program here that's growing with some really, really eager teachers on our own staff, right?
Yes.
Who I think are very enthusiastic about taking that trip. That's this Thursday they're going out. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the aquarium at which beach is that over?
At Gilgo.
It's
yeah.
very much similar to that.
Oh, sorry, cedar.
Cedar.
But on a larger level.
Yes. Great. Thank you. So exciting. As we approach the new year, we're already gearing up for testing week in January at the high school. I know Mr. Cerrone and his team are gearing up with a schedule to send home shortly to parents after the new year. On December 14th this week, we have our first district-wide shared decision-making team that meets at 3 o'clock p.m. as a reminder. And also, special thanks to our high school guidance department for the amazing student-parent programs within the last month on NCAA, Naviance, and SAT-ACT prep. So I want to congratulate all of you and administration for bringing those to the forefront of our school district.
Well, we're very well received, yeah. especially
the Naviance. Very good. Thank you. And very quickly, this is a very quick presentation, but I do want to present tonight on something that actually came up at the board level at this meeting from a resident. And we're very, very excited to be spearheading it this year. We're in the planning stages of it now, but we are starting a Distinguished Alumni Hall of Fame. And do I have a
yeah, it's actually
right
by your spot.
Thanks. This was brought up by a resident in this room, and we're excited to bring this on board. I'm actually working with a small group right now of alumni, Babylon alumni. Most of them are no longer active parents in the school district because many of their children already graduated. So it's really been exciting for me to meet people who may not have formal ties to the schools anymore, but you learn this amazing history that they bring to the table, right, of Babylon. So it's been great working with them, and I hope this committee grows. But what we want to do, we want to honor Babylon graduates who have distinguished themselves in their professions in civic affairs or in humanitarian efforts considered by the Hall of Fame Committee to merit special recognition. As you know, we do have a Babylon Athletic Hall of Fame. That's something completely different, right? This is more professional attainment, giving back to your community of Babylon, so on and so forth. So the people who are working with me this year are very excited about this. And we believe it will help develop, you know, that continued strong school community partnership. It's also a way to showcase these people with our current student population. You know, our current students will hopefully see these notable alumni and use them as role models looking ahead. And as I mentioned, I'm working with a committee of citizens. I do want to get students at the high school involved, maybe one or two kids on the committee to be on that. So I'll be reaching out to the two of you, you know, to send me a couple of names. I'd like to get a teacher on board, an administrator, maybe a board member if you want to join us. But I need a group together that will commit to about 3 hours every month, January through May, because we have, you know, quite a lot of work still to do. We did come up with a mission statement already. This is the mission statement. Basically says the Babylon Distinguished Alumni Hall of Fame honors alumni whose deeds and character exemplify outstanding achievements in their life's work and or service to our beloved community of Babylon. Recipients of this honor will stand as shining examples of Babylon pride and role models for today's students. So you can see we have a mission statement and now our timeline. In January, we are finalizing criteria for scoring and selection. In February, we'll be finalizing the nomination packets. In March, we'll be publicizing the open nominations. So if you know of people on the outskirts who want to be considered, they would have to be nominated. So we will encourage you to get the word out. We will be publicizing it, obviously, in the Beacon, which I think reaches a good number of Babylonians. In April and May, that's when we get to our work, and we will be going through the nomination packets and selecting. We figured at least two nominees for the first class, the first cohort class, and it's our hope that in June we will hold the first annual award ceremony recognizing the notable alumni. We still have to determine with the high school leadership where we would want to display, you know, notable alumni. Will eventually get them plaques at the award ceremony. Where do we want to put these plaques? So I'll leave that up to Mr. Simone, you know, to think about that. But as you can see, we're moving with this. So this is something we're very excited about. And like I mentioned, I promise you it's going to be short. So it gives you a little snapshot of where we are right now.
Well,
okay.
Two things. I'm hoping to be involved in it. Also, has anybody reached out to Massapequa Group? Because that Massapequa Wall of Fame is very vibrant. They do a big dinner. I mean, they've really taken this and run with it. They do a dinner. It becomes like a fundraiser for scholarships and stuff like that.
Very nice. I mean, it will definitely grow. And,
yeah.
You know, we want to get it.
No,
around,
I understand
but
that,
definitely,
but it might be worth a vote.
Yeah, no,
set,
definitely.
Have you guys set up and started and then develop it from there. So,
great.
Mr. Kern, you say we don't listen to you, too. You said this was your idea.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I think it's working out great. Sounds like you're going to have, you had one for sports, would be a separate Hall of Fame for sports?
Yeah, that's separate. They already said that.
That'll be separate, yeah. Okay. Sounds
okay.
Great. Sounds
thank
great
you, Mrs. Rossi. Okay, thanks. That's it. Anything else? Okay, so that brings us to our committee reports. We will start with Mrs. Panay and audit.
Okay, good evening. We actually met this evening to talk about our key control testing areas, those in progress, journal entries, bank reconciliations, cash receipts, budget transfers, home tutoring, and fixed assets. Most of the reports are due in at the end of January, so we're planning on meeting probably sometime early in February that will be announced in order to go through those reports.
Thank you. Mrs. George, finance?
Finance committee, we met on 11/28 after work study session, kind of went over what we need to do for our capital reserve, first entrance into that market. We discussed the school lunch fund, and our next meeting will be January 9th.
Thank you. Buildings and grounds, Mr. Bensavenga?
Yeah, we met on the 28th, and we have received some updated numbers from the school construction services that we use on the next phase of the bond issue. We have issued a little bit more than $9 million worth of bids put it out. And that breaks down to about $1.1 million for the elementary school, $4.1 for the grade school, $3.7 for the high school. This is where it gets interesting. We will, we are currently as I've been saying all along, we've been on budget and on time. With the most current numbers that we have from SCC, we anticipate it being the bids coming in based on when the bids were produced in 2013 and current costs. We would anticipate them coming in higher than what we have budgeted. No word yet on how much higher it's going to be. SCC's got a number. $10 million. We'll see if it actually comes in. $10.9 million, which if those numbers, if SEC's numbers fall versus the budget, we will have to spend some time looking at the next phase of the construction project, next two phases, and making decisions about what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, how we can amend the existing scope of work and get it all done if we can or not. This is decision time, so we're going to be spending a lot of time over the next couple of months. We anticipate having the bids back in early January. We plan to meet next week at the Buildings and Grounds meeting as part of the study. We'll look at drawings. We're gonna roll up the sleeves and dig into this and see where, if we can take things out. We'll have to make decisions about what gets prioritized. It's like anything else, you have to manage a project. The estimates that have come in from SEC, they were basically estimating roughly 5 to 10% a year increase from the 2013 original drawings. So that seems to hold. I won't speak for the board, I'll speak for myself. It was a little bit of a surprise because these numbers are not what we had been seeing earlier. They are what we're seeing now, and everybody seems to agree on. So, we're going to do what we do, which is manage the project and get as much work done for the district as we can, prioritize, bring it successfully.
Okay, thank you.
Curriculum, Mrs. Sutterbaugh.
I did.
Oh, sorry.
Technology,
Mr. Montalvo.
Well, I have nothing to report. Next week, we do have a night meeting. Next Monday night at the work study, we will have a meeting.
Okay.
You want to do it? Our meeting is going to take... it's going to take quite a while, right, Dan?
Some time.
Are we contemplating moving the whole start time up?
Yes, 7 p.m. It's going to
we're
be.
We're
going to
build a line
meeting on the 19th.
Okay, we'll do that.
Work study
technology.
That's
the work study.
Yeah.
Topic is technology.
Why don't you just put technology?
It's up to the board.
All right, curriculum, Ms. Lerbo.
All right, we all sat down on the 28th and we had some really good discussion about preliminary discussions about ways to start sort of showcasing our curriculum and answering kind of questions and looking down the road, maybe Karen Academies or something along that line.
Thank you. And this is all back up for policy.
There is no report. We did not have a meeting in December, but our next meeting is January 12th at 3:15.
January 12th?
Yes.
Okay, great.
It's mine.
Okay. All right, so that brings us to item number 8, the board agenda items. If you have a question on any of the agenda items, numbers 1 through 22, please approach the podium and state your name. Hearing no questions, board discussion on agenda items 1 through 22.
Yeah, let's pull that in line and we'll vote on the one.
Okay. Any other discussion?
No problem with voting, I just said it'd be a problem with voting.
That's 13.
No, 14. Yeah,
oh, 14.
So can we talk a little bit about number 14?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the Cold War Veterans Agenda.
Sure. We're asking the board tonight to pass the Cold War Veterans Exemption. That's for everyone who served. Hold on, let me get to my backup. I believe it's from, I have the years.
After World War II
up through 1991,
yes,
they're considered Cold War vets. And as school boards have done in the past, they've given exemptions for local firefighters, so on and so forth. This is the one for the Cold War veterans, up to a 15% exemption, which we could go up to, which is typically, I think, what most school boards will be doing. We're one of the first to pass this. Once this is passed tonight, we will notify the town of Babylon, the assessor's office, that we passed it. We have to send them a memo that we did pass it on behalf of these residents. Okay?
Great.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed one earlier, but I wanted to just touch base, just as a discussion point for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Item 19, amended to the agreement. This basically extends school construction consultants' contract with the district. The contract had expired, or is expiring, excuse me, and this carries through with them through the completion of the bond project or thereabouts. So, just in case there are questions.
Any other questions from the board? Okay. Do I have a motion to omnibus agenda items 1 through 8, 10 through 13, and 15 through 22? Mrs. Altapper, seconded by Mr. Montalco. All those in favor of omnibusing items 1 through 8, 10 through 13, and 15 through 22? Mrs. Delarva, seconded by Mrs. Monet. Do I have a motion to approve items 1 through 8? 10 through 13 and 15 through 22. Ms. Doors, seconded by Mr. Mansveda. All those in favor of approving items 1 through 8, 10 through 13, and 15 through 22. Motion carries 7-0. Which brings us to item number 9. Do you have to do this, Mrs. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve casual appointments on item number 9? Mrs. Delarva, seconded by Mr. Montalto. All those in favor of approving casual appointments, item number 9? That's 6, yay. All those opposed? 1 opposed. Motion carries 6-1. Do I have a motion to approve item number 14, the Cold War Veterans Exemption? Mr. Benzemega, seconded by Mrs. Altbacher. All those in favor of approving item number 14, the Cold War Veterans Exemption? I have 5 yeas. All those opposed?
And abstained.
None opposed. Any abstentions? I have 2 abstentions. Motion carries. Can we explain why? Can we ask Mrs. Joris, can you tell us why you're abstaining?
Sure. I'm abstaining because my husband's actually a Cold War veteran, so I didn't think it was proper for me to vote yes for that.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Penne, can you explain why you are abstaining?
Reason my husband is a Cold War veteran, so it's not appropriate.
Okay, thank you. Motion carries. Item number 10, other business. Mrs. Rodney, I believe you have some other business.
We do. I'd like Dr. Daly to give a couple of updates, one on the district-wide security camera project, where we are with that, and also on the high school vestibule preliminary project.
Okay, thank you. There is approximately $250,000 in project renewal for the installation of a district-wide security camera monitoring system. We have been meeting with the district's security consultant, BBS, our in-house people. We've established a plan, a deployment plan of where the cameras will be located in each building. I believe there's 20 cameras, elementary school, 20 grade school on the exterior, interior, 40 junior, senior high school. The plans have already been submitted to SED and have been approved. We have an addendum up there, and I spoke with Jim Wadick. That should be approved this week to add to our approval or our plan the installation of a few cameras out on the high school fields. The wiring, the actual poles have been installed, but now we need the approval for the cameras. And that'll bring this full circle. We will then be doing an RFP. We've identified at least 3 major players in the school camera market that we will be seeking proposals from. Once we get to that point, we'll come back to you all with a recommendation, and that work can be done, you know, earlier or even before the summer, but no later than the end of the summer. So that's the cameras. We spoke as part of the conversation discussion at the Finance Committee meeting. We talked about the possibility of a project, funds being provided from the Capital Reserve Fund. One of the areas that seems to be getting a lot of traction right now is the creation of a full-functioning vestibule for the junior-senior high school. Originally, we spoke about doing something with this area just outside and to the left, But after we spent some time with it, we sat down, we spoke with Mr. Cerrone, Ms. Mangone. We felt it'd be better served to really create something that would fully solve all of the problems or challenges that we have with this entrance here. The most of which being, once parents come into the building, once they're in, they pretty much have access to the entire building because of the way it's set up and the fact that we can't keep people to a high school administrative wing because of the layout and the dead end of the smoke doors and that sort of thing. So we have a rough draft, and again, Jim Wadick from BBS is working on this, creating a full functioning high school entrance that, if you can picture an entrance almost coming through Mr. Cerrone's secretary's office and then creating a man trap there, having security, moving perhaps special ed down, perhaps looking at a relocation of some of the other administrative functions in the high school, all down to one hallway with a set of doors that no one would be able to then get through and access the student population. It's pretty exciting. I mean, to look at it, it really is something that I think the building desperately needs, has needed, but for a number of different reasons, we never got that into the project, but it would be a nice project to try and do through the Capital Reserve Fund.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr.
Rodney,
just a question on the cameras?
Yes.
For the future, not for now, but can we here have the cameras? Will we monitor who will be monitoring them and where that would happen?
Yes, that is still in the planning stages.
Okay.
I know Dr. Daly and all of us have been talking about that, what the options are.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peter, have we got a number on investment cost?
No. It'll be high.
Oh, yeah.
Most school construction is. But I think if it really is done the way it should be done, you know, I don't even want to throw a number at it. I don't, you know, what we've experienced so far, you just, you know, there's a lot of things involved.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we discussed this a little before. I got to be honest with you, I'm not a fan of investments. If somebody wants to get into this building, they get into the building. I mean, we're managing it, and, you know, either 10 different ways to get into this building at any given time. And I know it's a challenge for Al and the team and teachers and everybody. And obviously, we want the place to be secure. But, you know, I would hope we'd spend a lot more time discussing this in terms of, you know, what it's actually going to accomplish. Because, I mean, I'm not sure. You know, that's enough for now. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, just to, you know, kind of continue with that conversation. I mean, the Suffolk County, you know, Police Department, they've been in here just to, I mean, I would love to get their input, you know, as far as safety, because I totally believe in some type of, I'm pro, definitely, but just to kind of, for those that might be in doubt, just to assure people that this is, you know.
A good idea.
Yeah, exactly. So just any clout we can get from that aspect, I think would
point.
Be important as far as kind of communicating that to community about that's why we're going about something aesthetic and something about safety.
Okay, yep.
I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about the project.
Mm-hmm.
Very preliminary stages, but
mm-hmm.
all good points brought up from down around the whole table, so thank you. Okay. Next, I wanted Mr. D'Amico to brief the board on the trigonometry/physics and the Common Core implementation.
Okay, I just created a little handout for you with some resources. So if you recall, prior to the Common Core, our math sequence was integrated algebra, geometry, algebra, trigonometry. It's now algebra 1, geometry, algebra 2. And so the question was asked, what happened to the trigonometry? And some portion of trigonometry is needed. Our students need to be successful in physics. So the short answer to that is that the Common Core standards, the standards pertaining to trigonometry, now live in geometry. Yes, correct, in geometry. So if you look at that sheet, I created some links for you. The first link is just a link to the Common Core standards and the geometry standards, and under there you can see the topics that are covering trigonometry. Right triangle trigonometry is needed for our students to be successful in physics, and that's covered in Common Core geometry. It's also reviewed again in Algebra 2. Now, we implemented the Common Core standards as they were adopted. So while some districts did choose to not focus mainly on the Common Core standards, because if you remember, the state was allowing a couple of years where you could take both the New York State regions and the Common Core regions, we really were focusing on the Common Core standards all the way through. Even last year in the first implementation of Algebra 2, we really just focused on the Common Core standards and felt that that was the best way to prepare our students. So we were set up well for that transition. The question that you may be asking yourself is, well, that trigonometry that they need for physics is happening a couple of years earlier. It's happening in Algebra 1, and then they're reviewing it again in Algebra 2. So we're going to keep an eye on that this year. This is our students who are in physics this year are our first cohort of students who came through all the Common Core math courses. We'll keep an eye on that as we're planning Regents Review courses. If we need to provide help specifically in that area of trigonometry and the trigonometry that they need to be successful in that region, we'll do so. Just in the conversations I've had and conferring with Mr. Cerrone, Mr. Michelle, Mrs. Dixon from the science department, our physics teachers, everybody's feeling pretty good that we've given it to the students, and in our adoption of the standards, we've covered it. But we do also think that it will be important for us to keep an eye on this cohort and see if we need to provide support for our Regents Review classes. That's it.
Thank you. Any questions?
Just a quick question. Down the line, is it going to have to be necessary for the kids to have to take the Regents Physics in order to go to AP? Because I know we're just developing it. I think it's just such a great addition. But is that something that we might be, because I know that in my own school, I'm just going to speak, that they can go right to AP and they don't have to take Regents Physics.
We've been having those discussions, and yeah. we feel like we need that level in there to prepare kids for AP Physics. We kind of like the way we're preparing kids for that, so you know, we feel like that's something we'd still keep in, that yes, you would have to.
But if we're going to go to the second year of AP 2, that's going to be 3 years of physics. Eventually. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I'm just thinking, you know, because as we start to develop, we have the AP 1 now, and if we do the AP 2. So if you want to get through all AP physics, you're going to have to take 3 years of physics. But that, I'm not trying to...
It's a little down the road.
Right. I mean, just something to look, because that's what we're starting to struggle with now, I know, specifically. And the trig piece, I know our AP physics teachers are teaching trig for 2 weeks into the AP curriculum. And we're short to begin with time, because we're up in the Northeast. We begin our curriculum in September, where the South is beginning their AP curriculum in August. So just a thought. So I'm just throwing my thoughts out.
Thank you. We are keeping an eye on it. If we feel that we have to do a summer course or something just to jumpstart the kids before they go into physics as a review, I think we're very open to that, right?
Of course.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for
We're just heavily into the 2017-2018 budget preparation. Here we are again, right? We're always in budget mode. With the draft budget coming to our attention sometime in January, and then we begin our work.
Great. Yeah. Exciting. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Rousey.
Thank you.
Item 11, representatives of organizations. Please approach the podium and state your name.
Hi,
from Babylon PTA. Just a couple of things. We spent the beginning of December decorating the lobby over at the elementary school in time for our holiday breakfast for K-2 families. With Santa and Mrs. Claus attending, we had a really nice community building event for about 500 people. We were very thankful for the support of DECA high school students who came out to lend us a hand as our student volunteers. And we are now in the planning stages for some pretty exciting winter programming at both the elementary and the grade schools to support reading and science curriculums. One of the programs PTA will support is the Parents as Reading Partners program at both schools, with author visits at the end of each program. These programs are designed to encourage reading amongst our students. And the second area focuses on our science curriculum, including hosting the grade 3-6 science fair, which will be offered this year as a collaborative opportunity where students will have the chance to work in groups instead of individually on projects. They won't have the opportunity then to advance to the Brookhaven National Labs, but we're hoping by allowing them to work in groups, more students will participate and less parents will participate. We're going to also ask the students at the end of our science night to actually stand by their projects and demonstrate them this year, mm-hmm. so they can show what they have learned through this experience. In addition, we're hosting grade-level science assemblies for all 3-6 grades 3-6 from Mad Science, and we will be hosting our first ever STEM night at the elementary school in February.
It's going to be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other representatives from organizations? Okay, so item 12, questions or comments from visitors. Please approach the podium and state your name. Okay, item 13, future board meetings. Our work study is scheduled for next Monday, December 19th at 7:30. But we are going to be changing that time to 7 p.m., so we will send out a notification about that change. Looks like we will make technology Nick part of our work study topics.
Perfect.
And when that meeting is adjourned, we'll go into the BNG meeting. So we hope to see you there. Do I have a motion to adjourn?